celebrity couple announces a marriage breakup, it brings to mind questions for the rest of us. Questions concerning the division of assets obtained before and after the marriage. Actress Gwyneth Paltrow and her husband Coldplay lead singer Chris Martin are, according to news reports, divorcing amicably and with no plans to fight over their millions or custody of their two children. My next guest is a specialist in asset protection, a practicing attorney, and has written specifically on this subject in his book, Financial Self-Defense. His name is Hillel Presser, and he joins me here today. Welcome to the show, Hillel.
Thanks for having me.
You know, it's a rare occurrence that there's no fighting over money or children. What are some of the things that this couple may have done to prevent that?
Well, you know, more than likely, they probably put together a prenuptial agreement or a postnuptial agreement, or perhaps even both.
You know, I understand that they got married very quickly and very secretly, so there's some accounts that it would probably have been difficult for them to do something pre, but this idea of doing something post gets a little trickier. But anyway, before we get into that, what constitutes a prenuptial agreement? What are some of the items that people would put in an agreement like that?
Well, you know, first of all, a prenuptial agreement is really just an agreement that the husband and wife form together before getting married, talking about how the assets will be divided if, God forbid, the marriage didn't work. So, you know, whether it's a first, second, third marriage, the husband and or wife might be coming in with assets, whether it's liquid assets, real estate, businesses, etc., and rather than fight over them at a later date when emotions are high and on the rise, a lot of people take the time before to say, okay, you know, here's what we think is fair. God forbid, you know, the marriage doesn't work out. And really, when you put a prenuptial agreement together, you really can involve any and all assets. So it might be as simple as, you know, liquid assets like checking, savings, stocks, bonds, brokerage accounts. You know, could be the business, could be shares in a corporation or membership interest in an LLC. You know, boats, planes, things of that nature, but it could also be intellectual property like websites, phone numbers, domains, you know, really anything that has any value.
Right, anything that can be titled and would have some value to some party, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So I understand that Chris Martin is worth more than Gwyneth Paltrow's, so wouldn't that have a the possibility of making it somewhat more difficult or increase the potential for a big money battle?
You know, again, depending on what they did or didn't do, you know, like you said, they got married pretty quick, so more than likely they probably didn't have time for a prenup, although you just never know, and, you know, we don't want to jump to any conclusions. So right. More than likely they probably put together a postnup, which a postnup is very similar to the prenup that we discussed. However, it happens after the marriage. So after you married, you get together and come up with some sort of plan and signed agreement, you know, detailing the division of the assets, you know, God forbid things didn't work out. So more than likely, in this case, it was some sort of postnup.
Well, we're talking about millionaires here, we're talking about celebrities here, but should only the well-off enter into a prenup agreement?
And not at all. And, you know, it's funny, you know, you mentioned that he was the higher earner, had more money. You know, you'd think that they're the ones who always want the prenup. I've seen lots of times where the lower earning spouse or spouse that comes into the marriage with less assets wants the prenup. Now, what the rationale is, who knows, but, you know, we see it every single day. But, you know, regardless of how little or how much you have, you know, I don't care if you have $10 million in the bank or $10,000 in the bank, or maybe you don't have anything. But, you know, to put together a plan while there's no emotions involved, you know, is really a smart thing to do because, you know, God forbid when things don't work out, you know, emotions run high and, you know, there's no telling that if each spouse is going to do what's really fair. And with that being said, you know, it doesn't really matter how little or how much you have, you know, you might want it to go to certain places. You know, we see this so much also in second and third marriages. You know, you have older people getting married more and more. Well, you know, they might not want their assets to go to the spouse. They might want to keep the assets specifically in their family, whether it's for the kids or the grandkids. So, you know,
I was going to mention that because there's children from previous marriages, and there's a lot of history there, and that history doesn't go away, and that money may be earmarked for them.
100%. So, you know, regardless of the age, regardless of the amount of money, that really should not affect, you know, whether or not you have the prenup or not, or postnup.
My guest is Hillel Presser. He is an attorney, and he specializes in asset protection, and actually you can find some more information about him at his website, which is assetprotectionattorneys.com. You know, you mentioned more and more people over 50 getting married, but they're also getting divorced at a faster rate. As a matter of fact, you quote that one in four divorces is an older couple, which is double the rate from 1980. Are there different worries for those over the age of 50 or 60 to consider? I guess in addition to the fact that there may be other, you know, previous marriages and other families, are there other more sensitive points than for a young couple in their late 20s?
You know, there definitely is, and that's because a young couple in their 20s, you know, if they lose everything, they can earn it again. But the older you are, you know, the harder it's going to be to earn again. And, you know, the reason why I think we see so many more divorces in an older age range is, you know, number one, due to the bad economy. You know, money doesn't help a marriage, and lack of money certainly doesn't help a marriage. And, you know, with the bad economy and people making less and less, you know, unfortunately, you know, tensions run high and fights break out. So I think the economy certainly has something to do with the divorce rate. You know, also, besides the economy, you know, you just never know. I mean, a lot of times when a marriage doesn't work out, they don't want to break up the marriage while the kids are young. So they purposely wait, you know, until the kids are out of college or married or out on their own before splitting up.
No, that's a very good point. I think many more are not even getting married. I think they're just cohabitating. What are some of the differences in that type of arrangement?
I see that a lot these days, and it's people who might have been together for 10, 15, 20, even 30 years who, you know, live as if they're married but never really got married. And at that point, you know, you wouldn't put together a prenuptial or a postnuptial agreement because you're not technically married. But what some people do at that point is they put together what's called a cohabitation agreement, which is very similar to a pre or a postnup, and again, just you know, outlines the division of assets.
So what are some of the ways to divide assets or to retitle them? Putting the agreements aside for the moment, in your book you mentioned that if there were business interests, you know, it's important for one spouse to keep an eye on those business interests and also to have some kind of, whether they have a voting interest or not, to have access to the books, so to speak, so they can see what's really going on, so nothing is hidden. In addition to that, what are some of the other tactics people can do to protect their assets?
Well, you know, what they can do is they can get them out of their name. And what I always tell people is, you know, anything in your personal name is exposed wealth. If you have anything in your personal name and you get sued, somebody can take it. So I don't care if you have a checking, savings, stock, bond, brokerage account, you know, cars, planes, businesses, real estate. If you have anything in your name, you could lose it all. So you want to do a couple things. Number one, get it out of your name. You know, put it in some sort of protective entity. There's dozens and dozens of protective entities like LLCs, limited partnerships, corporations, trusts, etc., etc. You know, take everything out of your personal name where it's unprotected and put it into a protective entity where it is protected. You know, just like you and I are different people with different social security numbers. If I get sued, they can't come after you and vice versa. Well, if you get sued, they can't come after your protective entity. So why keep anything in your own name, put it in a protective entity? You know, that's one option. You know, a second option is convert it into an exempt asset. You know, different states have different exemptions. And exemptions just means what assets are protected by state law. So in Florida, you know, your house is protected, your life insurance and annuities are protected. You know, in New York, they have a different set of protections. But take things out of your personal name that are not protected and put them into exemptions, things that are protected. And if you go to our website, it's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. There's actually a list of all the exemptions. So just, you you know, find your state and you can see what the exemption is. Another thing you could do is, you know, equity strip. You know, poverty is power. You know, what's a $100,000 car worth if you own $95,000? So, you know, put liens and mortgages and encumbrances on your property. You know, take out lines of credit on your home. You know, even if you don't pull them, it shows up as a mortgage. You know, if you loan money to your business, you know, record it, you know, as a UCC or a loan. That way, you know, you're first in line if, God forbid, the business doesn't work out. So there's a lot of different things you can do to protect yourself from different types of creditors and threats.
Yeah, so normally we talk about debt being a bad thing here, but this is really more of a tactic when you have enough money to cover all your debts and expenses and you're not using it for, you know, for consumption purposes only. You can equity strip out. I mean, is that a fairly aggressive move, do you think?
It is, and, you know, look, it's not the majority of the people who do it, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to how well do you want to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.